This is Sunday morning. This is May the 3rd, 2020. This is a Prophet's Corner Uncut. This is called The True History of the World. The True History of the World. Our true history has been sabotaged so that wicked men could hide their wicked deeds. A few years ago, the Lord began speaking to me about the book of Revelation. He said that it is a book about history. View it not as in the just in the future, but as the history of the world. He led me to the futurism doctrine. Futurists view the book of Revelation and see little or no prophetic fulfillments during the entire course of Christian history. In its modern form, almost everything is predicted to be fulfilled after the rapture, believing that everything will happen after the church is gone, with two of its primary characteristics being, one, the belief in a single future evil Antichrist person, and the belief that prophecy will then center around the literal Jewish nation with its supposedly rebuilt temple. The rapture doctrine did not exist before John Darby invented it in 1830. Before 1830, it was not taught in church creed. The rapture theory is exactly that. It has no basis in Scripture. Matthew 24:29-31. I mean, just that one scripture alone. It says on 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. This is after the tribulation of those days, after the Battle of Armageddon. All right, futurists often claim that Revelation 4:1 describes the rapture and that everything beyond that will occur during a supposed 7 years of tribulation. Its modern advocates often claim that after Revelation 4 that God's church is not in the earth because it is not specifically mentioned. Thus, the absence of the word church is used as proof of its removal, which, no, that word's not used. Church is not used, but we know the church is there. This is a huge fail, this doctrine. Now we know why the virgins fell asleep and why people in this day and hour have no clue with what is actually going on in their world and where we sit in God's timeline. If the Christian doesn't believe that they have a part, why be concerned, right? This caused the church to turn inward. A country club type setting, and anyone who believed differently was shunned. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 28, Mark 16. He tells us to go out. He's to take our nets. You know when you go fishing, do you go fishing in your house? No, you go out where the pond is, where the fish are. Duh. Here's a good example in church history to prove this point. Jesus said in Acts 1:8. Let me look at Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to Samaria, and to the utter part of the earth. Acts 2, the Holy Ghost power was poured out on 3,000. 3,000 people were born again. Acts 3, the lame man was healed at the gate. Acts 4, a church without any needs and sharing what they had with whoever they had need. Acts 5, sin is in the camp. Acts 6, inner fighting and division starts in the church. Well, Acts 7, Stephen's stoned, and they're scattered. Does it make sense that God would pass over 2,000 years of Christian history? The book of Daniel plainly lays out the historical succession of Babylon from its beginning in Genesis 3 when Satan became the god of this world system. You know, the statue. You can follow through the Bible, the Old and New Testament, to see the rise and fall of the Babylonian system over and over again throughout history. All right, Daniel chapter 1. When he said he had the dream of the statue, And then he had the dream about the tree that would fill the whole earth, and the tree was chopped down, but the roots stayed in the ground. So, you know, the tree, he said it would fill the whole earth, and the birds of the air would house it. Here's a revelation that the Lord gave me concerning the two witnesses. This opened my eyes to see that we are at the end of the church age and transitioning over to the kingdom age. It completely shifted my perception of end time events. Okay, we're going to look at Revelation 11. First six verses. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. Okay. So these two olive trees had their times and seasons of ministry in the earth, Moses and Elijah. In Genesis 1, God gave Adam dominion to take care of the garden and fill the earth for six days. That's 6,000 years. Okay, Genesis 1, 26. God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So dominion. All right, we know that Adam committed high treason and was run out of the garden, but Satan became the god of this world. Thank the Lord, he came and restored us to our dominion status. Now man has the ability, just like Adam, to call things the way he wants it. And we know about the cat, how the animals passed before Adam, and God wanted to see what he would call them. So God has given us the ability. He called the animals like God called light be into the darkness. All right. That's Genesis 1, 2, and 3. God has been bound by his 6,000-year earth lease to man. As a respectful renter, he will not interfere or intervene unless we petition him. You know, you ask the landlord to come over and fix the furnace. Jesus taught us to call it the way we want it. Mark 11, 22 and 24. Speak to the mountain. And to pray the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom come, as will be done in earth as it is in heaven. See, that's an invitation. Okay, this allows for the Father to have his will here. We see the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and they called for what they wanted. They stood in the gap and petitioned the Lord. Here's a couple examples. This is an example of Moses, Exodus 14. There's many examples, but I just picked one. 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Okay. Here's an example of Elijah. This is James chapter 5. 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her food. He also called down fire on the prophets of Baal. These are the candlesticks, the makers, if you will, of Christian markers of Christian history. As the Lord said, the church is built on this foundation. This is Ephesians 2:20. They're markers, church history. Or you could say the history of God's people. And they are built. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. When John saw the Isle of Patmos, what he saw on the Isle of Patmos was a vision, a spiritual vision, and it has to be discerned that way. I think we've failed to trying to make it so literal. I've always been fascinated with the book of Revelation and studied it and read a lot of commentary on it, but came away more confused than ever. It wasn't until the Lord began to give me some revelation personally that I began to see it the way it is to be viewed, and it caused the confusion and the uncertainty to leave. The futurist would be saying, I won't believe we're in the end times unless I see two old prophets show up in the streets of Jerusalem, right? I know how you are thinking. Used to be there myself, looking for the same thing. You may be asking, what is the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Jesus revealed himself to Daniel that he was the cornerstone. Okay, this is Daniel chapter 2. Let's pause it just for a second. Daniel chapter 2. All right. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye shall show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But ye will not make known unto me the dream. There is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, no ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other than can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So, you know what? Lord just quickened to me reading that. The alternate system, even if they're Christians and they're relying on it, it's the system of the magician, the astrologer, and the Chaldean. It's magic. It's tricks. It's because they were going to trick him, trying to, you know, because they didn't know. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Okay, here in verse 31, he comes before the king. Thou, O king, answereth, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the hearth. Now, we just talked about the mountain of the Lord, okay? All right, the stone. Christ has built his church. Christ is the stone. All right, Christ has built his church throughout Bible history, and it is continuing on through all the years of the apostles and prophets throughout the ages. Now, I'm not going to read the Tommy Hicks vision, but in his vision, you see a giant. It's the church. But the church has been infiltrated by demonic entities. And the giant would try to shed itself from it, would shake and try to rid itself, and things would fall off, but then it would become complacent again. And then after it became complacent again, the evil would come back. But there came a day that it was able to rise up out of the earth and shake off all of that off of the body of Christ. I believe that's the day we're in. See how big of a giant the church is now? See, the church began in the garden. Come on. God's people. Whatever dispensation. So the church is big. We've been beat down and oppressed, but we are waking up. It's time to wake up believers. It's time for the virgins to awaken. Trim their lamps. We are in this period. We're at the end of the church age, and we are transitioning into the kingdom age. We're going to recruit as many as we can before it's, you know. But over even into the kingdom age, people will have to get born again. They don't automatically just be born again because it's the kingdom age. There's going to be sheep and goat nations. Now, I didn't do a study on that, but there are sheep and goat nations, and there's still going to be sheep and goat nations in this 1,000-year reign. Satan has tried to erect Babylon throughout the ages to take over the world. You know it today is a new world order. The beast system or the Antichrist system. The church is built on that rock, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Jesus said that to Peter. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against it. Well, we've always thought that meant the rock of revelation knowledge. I'm not so sure now. Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said he was one of the apostles of the Lamb. We've been taught that the rock that this is talking about is revelation knowledge. I guess it could be. But the rock is Jesus. Not revelation knowledge. Maybe revelation knowledge of Jesus, maybe. This is talking about revelation. I mean, anyway, you know the cornerstone we've been discussing here. In any sound structure, there's always a cornerstone or a secure foundation. All right, hang with me while I bring this home here. The two candlesticks, Moses and Elijah, are part of this foundation. Okay, Revelation 11, verse 7. I think you'll see it after I read this to you. This is going to sound like the Tommy Hicks vision. And when they had, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Does that sound like the church? We've been dead, absolutely dead, laying in the street. The beast system has trampled on us. They backed us into a corner to where we absolutely have nowhere left to go. And they are the people and kindreds and tongues and nations all see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They didn't bury them. These aren't literal bodies. But this is what they're doing. They mock us. And they shall dwell upon the earth. They shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt in the earth. What did Jesus tell the man in hell? You know, you've heard Moses and the prophets. He's wanting somebody to send somebody back to his brothers. He said they wouldn't listen even if someone sent that was risen from the dead. And after 3.5 days, which is symbolic, I'm not sure about that part of it, the spirit of life from God entered into them and stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies behind them. What happened with the body in Tommy Hicks' vision? It raised and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. Then it melted back into the earth. And it was multitudes of people taking the gospel like liquid fire throughout the earth. I don't make this stuff up. Okay. It appears that the church is dead. It has been asleep for so long. Can't you just see the swamp creatures, the elites, etc., throwing parties and rejoicing that they have won over God and His church here? See, we just got it made. You know, we just steal their children and eat them for food, drink their blood, do our little sacrifices and do all our stuff. We're just showing, I heard Gene say, they call them dumbs because they think we're so stupid. These deep underground military bases, dumb. Dumb. They are certain that Babylon has won. Babylon is the Antichrist beast system. It's not coming. It is here and has been here since Satan showed up. When he was kicked out of heaven, he was already there. He must have been hanging around that earth that was covered in water and darkness, waiting until something happened so he could ruin the creation. This is the time of the Great Awakening, exactly what Tommy Hicks saw. The giant is waking up and trying to stand up and come out of Babylon's beast system. Do you see it? Look what happens. This is so exciting. This is Revelation 11. 11:11. Did I read that to you already? Yeah. After 3 days, they're raised and they go up to heaven, just like the church does. Oh, deep state, they have underestimated and miscalculated God's power. We have finally found our place. Where is that place? Seated with Him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. Well, let's just read it. I'm not going to just quote it. Let's just read it. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together, may sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He didn't want y'all to hear that. Then Colossians 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's where we're seated. It gets better. You're about to see the triumphant church ruling and reigning in the time of tribulation. This is Revelation chapter 12. Don't tell me the church ain't there. Just because the Lord said to John, come up hither, he's having a vision. I have heard Mike Thompson use that expression because he has visions all the time. And he'll say, the Lord said, come up here. And they base their rapture on that. You know what? Regardless, we're better off being ready to be warriors and to buckle down and ride it out and ride it through. And if it, for some reason, there is a big rapture, we'll just go, well, great. That is even makes it better. We're better off being prepared than not being prepared. All right, Revelation 12, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which is ready to be delivered. This is that enmity God was talking about in Genesis 3 between your seed and the woman, said the woman. For to devour her child as soon as it was born. See, this is nothing new. Eating babies. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and to his throne. This is the first revelation the Lord gave me out of the book of Revelation, was the Christ child. It was his church, raised up, triumphant, seated on the throne, because we're seated with him. Mm-hmm. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. It's really telling the same story kind of in two ways, because the devil was cast out on this side of it, and on this one here, it's talking about the war that went forth in heaven and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. We are right up there with the two candlesticks. We're ruining and reigning. We are the triumphant church. We're not sitting on our suitcases. We're not just, well, I'm not going to believe anything till I see a sign. If all these signs don't fall in line, I'm not going to believe any of it. No, we're not in those days. Spiritual book, people. To be spiritually discerned. That's the problem. Men have tried to make it, discern it in their noggin. And you just can't do it. You cannot do it. Okay, Isaiah 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build thee, O waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. The church of all the ages, we will all be together whole and complete. We already know we are Jews. We've been grafted in. This is the true temple, not the Jewish temple. This is a temple not made with hands. It is built upon the cornerstone, Jesus. Okay, Acts 7. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? It wasn't really God's plan for the Old Testament believers to have to go to a temple and worship by sacrificing animals, and it's still not his plan. Israel, because of the hardness of their hearts, were given the Old Testament law so that they would know that there was no way that they could do it, so they would embrace the Messiah when he came. That's why he turned to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. We know that it is still like that today. The veil still covers the face. That's 2 Corinthians 3:15. When the old covenant is read, the veil still covers the face. All right. Revelation 21. Are y'all getting it? Are y'all getting? All right, 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I won't go into it, you know, all the gates were named. All right, 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall whereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs in length, and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. These are the army that were sealed, the 12, 144,000. The building of the wall is of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. I won't go into all of that. Let's go down to 22. And this is the clincher. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So he's describing us. Can you see how Satan has duped us? Everyone looking for a physical proof or they won't believe. Revelation is a revelation, a disclosure. It has to be discerned spiritually. Okay, I'm going to give you a few more scriptures. Matthew 12. Got too many markers in my Bible. This is verse 38. And certain the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we should see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 16, I think, is also the same. Let me look. Yeah, verse 4 of 16, Matthew 16. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Okay, ye are the temple. Let's get over into the epistles. 1 Corinthians 3. 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 2. Verse 5. Here comes these stones again. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone a stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, natural Israel rejected the cornerstone. The cornerstone is what's going to take out Babylon. See, they accepted Babylon. Not all. But once you become born again, you're no longer a Jew. Really. But then if you become born again, you are a Jew. So it's not about male or female, slave or free. Since there is a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation, I challenge you to study for yourself. I believe men have so botched the study of this book because you must have spiritual eyes to see it, and perhaps we were not supposed to understand it until now. That is why it's been so misunderstood, a natural mind trying to interpret what only the Holy Spirit could show or enlighten. Okay, Revelation 5. I mean, the seals are coming off. Mm-hmm. Most people, when I listen to a few people that talk about when they woke up, they usually started waking up around 2015 to 2016. We started waking up about 2015. I mean, we knew things were wrong all along, but, you know. All right, this is Revelation 5, 1 and 2. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And that's my point. You know, it wasn't for this time. I know he told Daniel to seal the book, but he told John to unseal the book. And all they did was mess it up. I mean, they didn't understand. All right, Revelation 6, 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. Let that sink in. Come and see. It's when it looses the horses, the four spirits that influence the whole world. Over also in Zechariah chapter 6. All right. Revelation 7. Chapter 7 is about the sealing of the 144,000. And this is what I believe the 144,000 is. The Gideon army of special forces that God is using now to take out the Antichrist beast system. They are being sealed. Then we see the whole church that has been rescued out of the Antichrist beast system. Later over here, verse 9, after they're all sealed, verses 1 through 8, they're sealed. Then verse 9, after this will be held in law, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. All the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They stand before God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay. I'm not anti-Semitic. I respect Israel and I respect their land. I wouldn't touch it for nothing. But the true Israel is the church, the one that has multitudes all over the world. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The scriptures do not lie. I don't care if people like it or not, because they really come down on you if you start saying, well, we're Israel. You know, they've made them, because there's some of the wicked, most wicked beast people are the Khazarian mafia. They're Jews. They're literal Jews. And God, what he had to put up with, just like Ezekiel, looking in the hole in the wall in the temple and saw the stuff that they're doing today, they were doing in the temple. So, you know, let's get over that. All right, Romans 2. A few more, we're done. 2:28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. How can you refute that? Let them call me in. I'm not anti-Semitic, but let them, you know, who cares? In the body of Christ, there are no distinctions. Galatians 3, 26. Here's another witness. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I hate that when I hear someone say this, and I've heard it many times. We're all God's children. Oh, no, we're not. We're all God's children by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. So you can't argue with that. We have been grafted in. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Really, the whole Jewish movement is made to look down on us. Like they're so high and mighty. That's what the law does. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We are all Israel. We are all God's chosen people. Whether we were grafted in, whether we're a natural Jew, born again natural Jew, whether we are whatever. And came and preached peace to them which were far off and to them were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. All right. We have been grafted in. Did I read all of, let's see. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, now Revelation 8, 2. 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. So there's a rest between Revelation then 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And these right here, to me, are false flag events. These are the things, hopefully, we'll get explanations for what really happened. What happened? And it's not going to have 9/11, obviously. It's not going to have all of history. But this is what the deep state has been doing to us since Satan showed up in the garden. False flags. And so these trumpets are warnings. Wake up! It's a signal. They're fixing to uncover. The seals have come off. People are waking up. And now the trumpet blast. Look what Obama did. It's signaling a time in history. The truth is about to come out. All right, it goes through Revelation chapter 9, 8 and 9, or false flag events. I've taught them to you before, so I don't think I have to do it again. Okay, here's the true history of the world. That's just a partial list of the horrible things the beast system has done to humanity over the last 6,000 years. Yes, 6,000 years of human bondage and suffering are coming to an end soon. These are Satan's false flag events that he has executed since he became the god of this world. They're still. I remember the Lord said to me, he said, they're going to be screaming just like the devil when you throw them in the pit. They're going to, until you shut their mouths, they won't stop. They're not going to quit. They're conniving, they're lying, they're twisting, they're turning, they're spinning. They're going to continue until they're taken out.